Well, good evening and Christian greetings to all of you. It's good to be here and it's good to see your faces. It's amazing how time moves on rather rapidly, and especially last week when I talked to Brother Gerald, he said, well, if you want life to move on rapidly, just make a few appointments in the future that you think are out there a ways. And that is so very true. That is it seems like quite a while ago that he had called me and asked me to share in these revivals. We call them revivals. I've been pondering that this afternoon a little bit, and that's what I want these next couple nights to be, a time of reviving us all together. I don't plan to share a lot of new things or new thoughts with you, but I plan to share God's Word with you. And I believe that as we look into God's Word, even the very familiar parts of God's Word, again and again, we get revived. And that's my aim, my goal, my prayer, to just share God's Word with you. And hopefully as we go through the week, I believe tonight already that you have been stirred and revived just by the songs that we sang. Thank you, brother, for leading those songs. I appreciated those songs. We asked God to do a number of things through those songs, and I believe God is faithful in doing that and will do that. I wasn't sure. I look across the audience and I don't see a lot of children here. But okay. I always like to do something a little bit for the children when we have revivals, include them. And I had decided to just do a little bit of Bible trivia. And maybe I'll just go ahead and put that question that I have for tomorrow night out there, and you parents can write it down. And if they're here with us, we'll pick up on that. I like to make some points with the questions that I ask still. But my question for tomorrow night for the children would be, what momentous finding caused King Josiah to tear his clothes? What momentous finding caused King Josiah to tear his clothes? Here's the question, and if the children are here, we'll try to make a little bit of a children's meeting from the answer to that question. Well, I'm not going to spend time to introduce myself tonight. I think y'all know us, and I would like to just simply get into God's Word this evening. For a message, you may open your Bibles to a very familiar verse in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. We're going to use for a text verse tonight. This verse simply says this, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." The title to the message tonight is simply two words, very simple, but grow. But grow. Have you ever observed a child or someone who was not growing physically? We all like to see things grow. We like to see things flourish. We like to see things healthy. I find myself being an animal husbandry, and I enjoy when my livestock, my animals, when they flourish and when they're looking healthy and well. And when that's not the case, we try to find out the reason why. Well, if you have ever observed that in a child, you know that parents get concerned when a child's not prospering, not growing. Doctors get concerned. And Yes, of course they are. They should be. We know that a child that does not grow, he's going to be abnormal probably, and probably die prematurely if it's not corrected. Well, tonight, we want to think about growing in the spiritual sense, not just in the physical sense. We must grow in our spiritual lives, just like we grow physically, and like we want physical life to flourish and go. We want spiritual life, and God wants spiritual life. As he looks down upon us and he ponders our lives and he watches us, I believe God's very concerned to see us grow spiritually. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, who was Peter addressing when Peter was writing this? What group of people was he talking to? If you turn back to chapter 1 of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 tells us, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So he's saying this to people who have acknowledged their need of God, who are living a Christian life, who have started a Christian on their Christian journey, who are endeavoring to live the faith and enjoying the faith that Jesus made possible for us. And that's who Peter is addressing here. He says, but you as Christians, you need to keep on growing. Don't stop now. Keep on growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, why is Peter concerned about this? Well, if we would just back up in chapter 3, the last chapter of 2 Peter here, verse 5, we see that Peter is talking about things that are going to come to pass. He says that there's going to be perilous times and people are going to fall away. They're going to fall asleep, he says, and there's going to be a great falling away, and there's going to be ungodly things that are happening. And he says that we're not supposed to be ignorant of this, because God's not slack concerning his promises, he says. And he says that the day of the Lord is going to come. And he says you need to be, you're going to need to give an account for the things that you do. And so he winds up saying, but because of this, brothers and sisters, keep growing. Put effort into growing is what he's saying. And the reason is, you and I cannot stand still in our spiritual life without suffering loss. There's going to be a loosening out on things. But what I'm so blessed with this evening and what I want to look at is that Peter gives us God's divine prescription, I'm going to say. You know, when our children are sick and we realize that something is wrong, we go to the doctor, and the doctor often gives us a prescription. He prescribes a medicine. He prescribes what he thinks is going to correct the problem, and he says, use this. Well, Peter here is giving us God's divine prescription for this. And I'd like to think about our physical growth for a little bit tonight. You know, physically, we can control our growth, at least to a certain extent. We can't altogether, but we have some things in our abilities that's going to make a difference. We can choose an unbalanced diet and suffer malnutrition. We can overeat and become overweight, or we can even decide to starve for that matter. And just like children sometimes need to be told to eat so that they will grow and continue to be strong and mature, so God is commanding us to grow spiritually. He's telling us how to do it. Or like I mentioned, just like the doctor sometimes gives us a prescription for medication, this tonight is God's prescription for us to grow spiritually. But grow in grace. Let's think about a few of the words here, first of all. grow in grace. What is grace? We say that it's God's favor to us, right? We say it's the things that we don't deserve. It's unmerited favor. We use those terms to describe it. It's what you and I really don't deserve and what we can't do for ourselves. But God does it for us, and he provides for us, and he puts it there. And he says, grow in this and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's turn back to the first chapter of 2 Peter, and I'd like to take the time to read 11 verses here, the first 11 verses, and I'd like to think about this prescription and some of the things that are here. 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an inheritance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll see his reading there. I'd like to, this evening, think about a number of things that Peter talks about here and that I believe are this prescription for us tonight so that we can continue to grow. And first of all, I want you to notice God's provision for us. The first point tonight is God's provision for our spiritual life. This is what makes it possible for us to live a diligent, godly, fulfilling spiritual life. And God has put everything in place that we need. Notice in verse 1, he says that we are a part of the body of Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Tonight, if you're here and you're a Christian and you have acknowledged your need of the Savior, you are a part of Jesus, a brother of Jesus, a friend of Jesus. He cares about you. You have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That is a precious thing to think about tonight. God has provided salvation for us. He's put it here. But beyond that, he says in verse 2 that grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In other words, these provisions that he has made for us that we don't deserve, he puts here and he gives us peace in our heart when we respond to Jesus. And he says that he will keep us there. He has promised to keep us there. He says that it's actually going to be multiplied. Now, you folks that do math know that when we start multiplying things, the total sum grows quite fast, doesn't it? You know what happens. Well, he says that he's going to have grace and peace multiplied in our experience. When we grow in the knowledge of God, when we have the knowledge of God and we continue to put effort into the knowledge of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's a promise that he gives to us tonight. And if he's going to multiply that, what's going to be the end product of that? When you start multiplying numbers and you start counting money and you multiply, you get rich, right? After a while, you have lots of money. People like to be rich. They like to have a lot of money. What, that's exactly what happens in our spiritual lives. When we allow God to work in our hearts and we allow Him to start multiplying the things that He wants us to grow in, we start growing in ways that, yes, we, after a while, in the eyes of God, we start looking beautiful. He can bless us. He says, here's somebody that is healthy. They're doing well in their spiritual life because they have an interest in me and the things of God, and they long after me, and they're putting an effort into it. And you continue to grow. It makes us rich. But we're not done yet. Look what he says in verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. Oh, his divine power. How much power does God have? We like to talk about power, do we not? Young boys like to talk about power. They like to see those things that have power, and you push a pedal down and something happens, right? Yes, we like that. But when we want to grow and we apply ourselves to allow the Word of God to work in our hearts and allow the Spirit of God to work in our hearts according to His divine power, there's some great things start happening, just like it does in the natural realms. When you push the pedal to the metal, some things start happening. Well, that's what starts happening in our spiritual life. As His divine power has given unto us, is there a limit to it then? There is no limit. You might have that pickup that you have souped up to I don't know how many hundred horsepower, and you push the pedal down, and it might really pull away and go somewhere, but you know there's a limit to it. It still can only do so much. That's not the case here. It says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things, everything. You know what? I can't even begin to fathom those all things. There again, we think as far as our ability goes, as far as we can think, as far as we can reason, as far as our senses go, and we come to a dead end. And it's way beyond that. The ability of God, according to his divine power, to give us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You see, there is no reason for us, dear ones, not to keep on growing in our Christian life. When we want to, we can, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And then in verse 4, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. What are they? Well, the Bible is full of them tonight. If you study the Bible and you study God's Word, there's just one promise after another, and another promise, and another promise of things that will happen in our life and in our Christian experience if we allow God to have the throne and allow Him to work in our hearts and in our lives. And then we can claim these promises. He says that by these promises, these exceeding great and precious promises, we are, that we might be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature, the nature of God, the nature that has the power to live above sin, to rise above sin, to suppress evil, to live above the enemy and the temptations that come our way. And as we do that, he says that we are then going to escape the corruption that is in the world. All the corruption, all the evil that is around us, all the lust that's in the world and is happening in this world around us, he says we can escape that. We have the power to live above it here, and we have the promise of being taken out of this world sometime when we no longer have to deal and even see it and experience it around us. And so those are what I'm trying to press upon you tonight is God has made every provision that we need to continue to grow. And that's what Peter says, but continue to grow. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of God. Well, God, that's God's provision for us. In the second place tonight, I'd like to think about our responsibility and what we have to do with this. And I've simply made my second point, personal choices. I'd like to talk about personal choices a little bit this evening. We're not going to talk about this just a lot. But you see, God has left us with the power of choice. You and I can decide tonight how we want to live life, who we're going to look to be our God, the God in our life. And I'd like to say tonight that we will never be able to fulfill the responsibilities that God wants us to fulfill in life, that God gives each one of us. God has a will for our lives. God has something he wants you to do with your life. And God is asking you to fulfill the responsibilities that he gives us. God gives us personally choices without developing spiritual qualities. In other words, it takes a strong character to be a good person is what it does. And God wants us to grow in our character. Let's just think about marriage relationships, for instance. How does a husband become a good husband? It's because he develops that. He knows what God's will is for him in leading out in family life and being that husband and what his wife expects of him. It's the same way for a wife. You cannot be a good wife without having these spiritual qualities and without doing what God wants you to do, what God has assigned to you. It's the same way with children. You cannot obey your parents unless you decide you're going to be an obedient child and you're going to listen to your parents. It goes through life. You take the, it takes a strong character to be a good parent. A good student in school, a good school teacher, if you will, a good business person. It takes strong characters. It takes a strong character to be a good employee for your employer. You see, these are all things. In other words, what I'm trying to say tonight is to be useful to God and to our fellow men, we must maintain an ever-growing relationship with God. And whenever our spiritual life starts deteriorating or not growing, not flourishing as it were, when we start getting spiritually sick, all these areas are going to start hurting. There's going to be a price paid. I believe it's why the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Give attendance to reading." This is how it's done. Read the Bible, in other words. Give attendance to reading, to good things, reading good things, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is within thee. In other words, a gift that God has given you and God wants you to grow. He wants you to grow that gift so that the fruit can be his. Give thyself wholly to it, Paul told Timothy, that thy profiting may appear to all men. That's so beautiful when you think about that. But that's what happens when we continue to grow. And so tonight, dear friends, this is our call. We cannot help others if we are not personally strong and healthy. And so as you make personal choices, I just plead with you that you make those choices in life, that you will continue to grow and be the person that God wants you and I to be. Now, when we think about growing physically, there's another aspect that helps us to grow physically, and that is exercise. Exercise is good for us, right? We need to exercise. Well, we need exercise in our spiritual diet as well. You know, eating a balanced diet does little good towards achieving our ideal of strength and our ideal of maturity unless we apply what we have absorbed. We can eat and eat and eat, but if we don't exercise and we don't use it and we don't burn up those calories for something good in the physical sense, it goes to waste. It's not really any different in the spiritual sense. Exercise in the physical develops our muscles. It increases our endurance. We get tougher and we can do more and we can do it for longer. It perfects our skills and our coordination. We get better at it. It's why when people exercise in certain areas, they get good at it. And after a while, you say, well, I really do well in those areas. Well, I'd like to tell you tonight, dear friends, once we have begun the Christian life, we must exercise. Our inner man needs to exercise so that it can grow and be perfect and mature in the way that God wants it to as well. So how do we exercise? Let's consider some of this tonight. I think that's what Peter is telling us to do here. He tells us that God done all these things for us in these verses. But then he says in verse 5, Second Peter chapter 1, now in verse 5 he says then that God's going to provide all this and you're going to escape the corruption. But don't let that be good enough. He says, go on and exercise. And then he says in verse 5, and besides this, give all diligence. Give your attention. Give all diligence. In other words, take heed. Look, observe, and see. And he says, add to your faith. So first of all, he's expecting us to be strong in faith. If we're supposed to act to our faith, we're supposed to have faith. And I believe as we foster faith in the situations of life, our faith can grow. Remember I said that deception and apostasy will increase in the last days. And I believe we're living in a time like that when deception, people are deceived, there's apostasy all around us, that's no question. We live in the midst of that and it's increasing. And I believe in that our faith must grow to provide us a firm anchor. We have to grow in this thing of faith so that we are anchored in the midst of this falling away society and the pressures and the influences that are around us, lest we get swallowed up in the cycle of things. And so as we meditate on the Word of God and as we realize and as we in our minds come to the understanding that, look, there is going to be evil about us. There is going to be sin. There are those that are going to lose out. It may even be our friends, our families. It happens. It's sad, but it's happening. We see it happening, but that doesn't mean it has to be us, dear ones. As we increase our faith, we have an anger. As our knowledge of the will of God broadens, yes, it requires faith to be obedient to the best of our understanding. But as we understand, and I believe it's right, sometimes I think we just need to pray more like Jesus' disciples did. Lord, increase my faith. I just need more faith. Yes, we have faith, and yet we feel weak. And I'd like to encourage us tonight that we continue to foster our faith and that we continue to ask God to give us, increase our faith so that we can stand firm. He goes on to say then that adding to our faith, we need to add virtue to our faith. And so this is the next point I'd like to talk about, because I believe that as we practice faith and as we practice these things that he's talking about here, it helps us to grow and it helps us to stay strong. He says that we're to add to our faith virtue. And so what is virtue tonight? I like to say tonight that we need to develop virtue. And what virtue is, virtue can be defined as moral strength or moral energy and excellence is what virtue is tonight. And as we look around, truly in a society of moral decay that is around us, we need to be Christians, and we need Christians who have backbones. Christians who stand up and say, like Daniel of old did, that I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what is right. There's many men we could go to as examples of that. But that's what God wants from us tonight. He wants young people. He wants old people. He wants us all to be people who have a strong backbone. People who have the law of Christ in their hearts. Did you get that? I didn't say in their heads. The people who have the law of Christ in their hearts. There is a difference. It's only as we have the law in our hearts, only as it has done its work in our heart, and only as God has our hearts tonight, can we provide the stability that we need, the anger that we need to be the virtuous kind of people that God wants tonight. And so we need to develop virtue, and we need to have conviction in our hearts. We need to have, is that we can say that God needs to have the throne room of our hearts. That's the long and the short of it. We need to nail ourselves on the cross and give God the throne. We'll talk about some more of that later this week, but I believe tonight that a person of strong virtue is going to be a person who you can observe and see and appreciate, and you say, there's a godly man who has God living in his heart. He's not going to be a man or a person who's going to use bad words, if I may say that. In other words, swear. Or do shady business. You know, not quite above board. His business life is doing things that are pretty much in his own favor. And he doesn't care too much about others. No, he's not a person that has developed virtue, is not going to do those kind of things. He's going to be strong. He's going to be excellent. He's not going to tell smutty stories or dabble in the past. Remember when back there and go back into things that he was involved in that he shouldn't have been in and enjoy telling those kind of stories. Sometimes we hear people do that. A person who has strong virtue is not going to boast about himself and his own agenda and the things that he has. He's going to have an interest in other people and in their lives and be more concerned about others than he is about himself. In fact, he's going to be a person that's going to be hard on himself and kind to other people. That's a person who has real virtues. We exercise this quality by always standing up for what is right, regardless of the cost. You know, sometimes we know that if we stand up for what is right and what we should stand up for, we're fearful of that because we know it's going to cost us something very dear sometimes. And so we lose courage because of that. No, a person that has strong virtues is not going to do that. He's going to stand up for the right thing no matter what it's going to cost him. Well, thirdly, he says that we're to exercise his faith and virtue, and then he says, and to this virtue add knowledge. And so the third thing I'd like to talk about this evening is expand our knowledge, the way we continue to grow. Our spiritual knowledge comes from reading the Bible and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through the Bible and to us. Listening to the Spirit of God. Dear friends, tonight, we will grow in our Christian life as much as we exercise ourselves in these two exercises. reading the Bible, reading God's Word, and listening to the Spirit and obeying the Spirit. I'd like to add to that. And so tonight, I'd like to encourage us that we use every opportunity. That's why we call a week of meetings like this revival meetings, because we come together and we look into God's Word and we study the Word of God and we become revived. And it should work that way. And so we should be at meetings like this. We should be at church on Sunday morning. It's why we go into God's house. It's why we gather together to worship God and encourage ourselves. And so tonight I'd just like to say, let's use every opportunity we have to increase our knowledge of God and His will for our lives. And I tell young people, it's one reason why you should go to Bible school. You should go there and spend 3 weeks at Bible school, because you can expand your knowledge. Expand your knowledge by studying God's Word personally. Have your personal devotions. It's what's going to help you grow. It's what's going to help you keep you on the right road and achieve the things that we're talking about tonight. Spiritual growth is going to come as you get into God's Word and you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians. We're not going to turn there. Listen to the preaching of God's Word. It's very important. As the Word is shared and as applications are made and as your ministry stands before you and breaks the Word from time to time, listen to what they have to say and ponder the truths that are there and ask how it can apply to my life. Read good books. Have a desire for the things of God. Cultivate a desire for the things of God. This is how we gain this knowledge that he's talking about. But then he says that we're to add, in verse 6, he says, and to knowledge, we're to add temperance to it. And I'd like to talk about this a little bit yet this evening on two more points, and then I'm going to quit tonight. I don't want to keep you real late. But I'd like to say this. Let's train in temperance. Temperance follows knowledge. Temperance is control of the body and its desires. It's having control of things, even things that may be legitimate and that are okay in themselves, but too much of it is too much and is not good. And so temperance, we need to grow in temperance. We must have control. We must grow in knowledge, and we must grow by an act of our will and put that knowledge into practice is what it is. And as we put knowledge into practice, it brings about temperance is what it does. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. Says this, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That was the thought I wanted. That's what temperance does. Temperance helps us to decide that it's not good for us. This is enough. This is too much of it. And we will not be brought under the power of it. It may even be things that in themselves are not necessarily sinful at times, but we're not going to be brought into bondage with them. And we could make a lot of applications to this tonight. Maybe it's just the time that you spend in certain things and you say, you know what, a little bit of this is okay, but too much of it is too much. And so you draw a line and you say, I'm not going to go there. Just a little bit like I need to do with myself and watching the news these days. I'm tempted to watch the news because the political scenes have been quite some different political scenes. But finally, Lamar, too much of that's not good for you. And so I put temperance in place. At least I try. It's just a point tonight. Let's train in temperance, because when we do that, we we keep the door open, that God can work in our hearts and we can grow spiritually when we allow God to work. Number five, he talks about temperance and then he talks about patience. He says, and add to temperance patience in verse 6. And so tonight, let's be those people that practice patience as well. And I need to talk to myself when it comes to this, because I tend to be a person that like to see things happen. I like to see life move on. I like to see things accomplished. And I can be kind of short in patience sometimes. But he says that if you want to grow in your Christian life, then practice patience. Patience perfects Christian character. I believe it does. Turn with me in your Bibles to James, just a few pages back if you're in Peter. So the book of James, James chapter 1. In verse 2, James says this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. In other words, when you have temptations coming your way, different kinds of temptations. He says, count it joy. Now, do you count temptations as joy? I usually don't look at temptations as joy. But he says this, knowing this, that the trying your faith worketh patience. God brings in this into our experience, these things into our experience, so that we can have our patience overhauled to see if we're going to use temperance and the knowledge that we have and the rest of the things that we talked about tonight and see how we're going to do is what he's going to do. And he says in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That talks about spiritual growth again. It's what it does. In other words, when the trials, the temptations, the things of life come your way, deal with them in a right way and be patient. God has a reason for the experiences of life that he, as hard as they are so many times, and dear friends tonight, I know there's things in that come our way sometimes that are almost unbearable, and we wonder how we're going to ever come through it all. But in all that, I would say that God wants us to develop patience by joyfully anticipating these difficult situations and keeping our eyes fixed on the God beyond, the goal beyond, the things that are beyond. And I know that's a whole lot easier said than done. But that's what he's saying here. He says he wants us to practice patience in these things and thereby grow. Well, friends, I'm not going to keep you long. In fact, if you want to hear the rest of this message, you're going to have to come back tomorrow night, because I'm going to pick up tomorrow night right where I left off tonight. And I'm going to go on and I'm going to share another message. And tomorrow evening, I actually want to talk about some things that are going to be a hindrance to us growing personally. And so tonight, I'm going to leave you. I want you to go home tonight and I want you to think about two questions. As you leave here and you think about what we talked about so far this evening, when God looks down upon us, what does he see? Who does he see? Does he see a person who is spiritually healthy and growing? Or does he see someone whose growth is stunted and withering away, as it were, deteriorating? And the second thing I want you to think about is the wickedness around us leading us away from our own steadfastness. And I take that, go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want you to notice verse 17 yet in closing, the verse prior to the text verse. Here he says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing these things, and he's referring back to the things that he wrote about, the fact that there's going to be things happening in the last days. He says, as you see these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So tonight, where are you? What is God seeing? What is God observing as he looks down? What does he see when he looks at me? Is he seeing someone who is spiritually healthy, prospering, growing? Is he happy? Or does he see someone who is stunted in his growth and someone who is falling from his own steadfastness? May God bless you. I want you to continue to pray for these meetings. Pray that God would have us share what needs to be shared. I don't know you as a congregation. I don't know what the needs are, but I know that we all have needs. I know that. So may God be praised and God be blessed. And thank you for coming tonight. May you have traveling mercies as you all go back to your homes this evening. Is there any announcements you'd like to make or anything? Let's just stand together for a closing benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.